Good morning. Welcome to our podcast. My name is Luis and I'm the pastor at Green Hills Christian Fellowship, Durham. Today is March 13, 2020. The title of this message is The Church Amidst the Pandemic. This is a very timely message because of the worldwide spread of the COVID-19. My aim is to share from the Bible what God has to say in this situation. And encourage all believers to obey the will of God, especially in this kind of situation. The World Health Organization announced last Wednesday that the coronavirus, or COVID-19, is now a pandemic. BBC News reported, and I quote, WHO Chief Dr. Tedros said the number of cases outside China had increased 13-fold in 2 weeks. He said he was deeply concerned by alarming levels of inaction. A pandemic is a disease that is spreading in multiple countries around the world at the same time. Dr. Tedros said that calling the outbreak a pandemic did not mean the WHO is changing its advice about what countries should do. He called on governments to change the course of the outbreak by taking urgent and aggressive action. Several countries have demonstrated that this virus can be suppressed and controlled, he said. The challenge for many countries who are now dealing with large clusters or community transmission is not whether they can do the same, it's whether they will. End of quote. Friends, we have been living in perilous times. The world had been into many perilous times, but for many of our younger generation today, this pandemic is your perilous time. It hit us in 2003 and it hit us again last year, last quarter of 2019. Only this time it was now a pandemic. But when you look at the landscape of human history, God's people have always been there, and we're right in the midst of very difficult times, and by God's grace, have become a part of the solution. Since the Old Testament times and up to now, God's people has always weathered the storm because God has always with them or been with them. God has a solution for everything, but His people must act according to His will. And the virus that has caused this pandemic that is now upon us is not new. It was already been known by the medical community since the 1960s. This is according to Miguel Nunez, an infectious disease expert and a pastor at the same time. The COVID-19 is a strain of SARS, or Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome, of 2002 or 2003. Then after 10 years, the MERS appeared. This is the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. And now we have another coronavirus that showed up in China in 2019. The church has witnessed these things, but have become part of its solution. And so today there is no reason why we shouldn't be part of the solution in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. We should be part of the solution as we are in this together. We live in the same world, in the same country, in the same community that has been exposed to this virus. You probably personally know someone who has been infected. It is common knowledge that the wife of our prime minister has tested positive for COVID-19. There's also the actor Tom Hanks, with his wife Rita, who admitted having tested positive down in Australia. The whole team of Raptors is also in self-isolation because they had close contact with a jazz player who tested positive. Hence, this is a serious matter that needed serious attention by all of us because we are in this together. So what can the church do to become part of the solution in addressing this pandemic? I'm suggesting four things. And the first one obey the governing authorities as this is the will of God. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. The Apostle Peter wrote this to the first century church living in the midst of a pagan civilization. He was urging the body of Christ to do good in order to protect the integrity of the faith. And since God is the supreme ruler of our universe, he has instituted authorities on earth. And one of them is the governing authorities. And civil disobedience is disobedience to God. This is what doing good means in this passage, to obey the governing authorities as this is the will of God. Peter was in the midst of an oppressive government, and yet he encouraged the early believers to obey every authority that is over them. Although there are limits to obedience to human authority, but that is not the subject of this message. God created human authorities to restrain evil. So far, the enemy of our government is not God, but this COVID-19. Thus, we need to submit to them. By submitting ourselves to governing authorities, the Bible said, we're able to shut the mouth of those who are against our faith. People have accused us as irrelevant and the church as disconnected with the community and with reality. And this pandemic that is our reality now is the best time to show our relevance and connection with our communities. We can do good works to the people around us. Maybe you can give someone a call and check on them. Maybe you can offer a little of what you have stored if the needs arises. Good works are the product of our faith and must be displayed during this time of crisis. This is a very uncommon time, and yet it is the best time for God's people to shine their light by helping those who are in need, showing compassion to those who fear, and to share the peace of God through sharing of the Word of God, especially to those who are feeling uncertain about their future. Friends, this is the time to shine the light of Christ. We can't be a part of the solution if we will spread the conspiracy theories. Many times, these conspiracy theories spread faster than the COVID-19, thanks to social media. While others would even spread the rumor that there is a home remedy that can protect you from COVID-19. But there are no solid proofs and medical evidence that would support such claim. Thus, it is not wise to spread such misinformation. The best place to get reliable information is from the World Health Organization, the WHO, and from the Public Health Agency of Canada and the Public Health Ontario. The church, for it to become a part of the solution, must avoid involving herself from sending unverified information and rely only on the World Health Organization and, of course, on our government for updates. Our government has our best interest in its mind. The federal government has already approved a budget of $1 billion to fight this COVID-19. And the Ontario government has allocated $100 million as contingency fund to fight it. And more money to support us economically is underway. Thus, the government's main concern is our health and safety, and to make sure we stay that way. But the government can only go as far as their funds could go and as far as their manpower could go. We have to do our part as the church amidst the COVID-19 pandemic so as not to overburden our healthcare system and to protect our faith, the integrity of our faith, that is. Do not think that your faith is weak when you follow the World Health Organization and our public health officials' advice. In fact, the Bible teaches that we should obey them as God is using them to protect us, especially at times such as this. Now, the next thing that the church could do is to practice prudence. Prudence prompts us to be aware of our times and our present surroundings. Prudence prompts you to act with caution. The practice of prudence is biblical. If you go to Leviticus chapter 13, verses 1 to 5, we have these words. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When anyone has a swelling or a rash or a shiny spot on their skin, that may be a defiling skin disease, they must be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons who is a priest. The priest is to examine the sore on the skin, the skin, and if the hair in the sore has turned white and the sore appears to be more than skin deep, it is a defiling skin disease. When the priest examines that person, he shall pronounce them ceremonially unclean. If the shiny spot on the skin is white, but does not appear to be more than skin deep, and the hair in it has not turned white, the priest is to isolate the affected person for 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest is to examine them, and if he sees that the sore is unchanged and has not spread in the skin, he is to isolate them for another 7 days. The Lord may have referred to the leprosy, a feared disease at that time, because there was no medical cure. You can catch this disease the same as you would with coronavirus, through close contact and droplets from coughing and sneezing. Leprosy has been mentioned 68 times in the Bible. It was obviously a skin disease that affects the skin and the flesh. God commanded his people to consult Aaron or the priest to let them examine the sore on the skin. This may have some spiritual meaning because of the involvement of the priest. And then again, that is not the purpose of this message. The Old Testament priests, like Aaron and his sons, were given authority by God to look after not just the spiritual well-being of his people, but their physical well-being as well. Because these two are intertwined together. Disease is the direct consequence of the fall of man to sin. That's the spiritual side. When Adam sinned, sufferings have entered the world. We inherited Adam and Eve's sin. And so before we put the blame on Adam and Eve, let us remember that we too have the ability to commit sin against God. And God is holding us responsible for every sin we commit. The Old Testament were given authority to judge if the skin disease was indeed a leprosy. And this is the physical side of this passage. And if it was a leprosy, God offered some practical applications to mitigate the spread of the disease. And the way to mitigate its spread was to practice prudence. And so the first advice of God is to isolate the infected person. God gave the priest the authority to quarantine the disease-infected person for up to 14 days. If you further study the whole chapter of Leviticus chapter 13, you also see that God gave instructions on how to protect others from catching the disease. And the primary defense and for mitigating the spread of this disease is to isolate the person infected. Verse 45 says, anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkept, cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. That's isolation. That's quarantine. And so even at that time, God already prescribed quarantine or isolation to stop the spread of the disease. The second is social distancing. The infected person was commanded to wear torn clothes and unkept hair. They were meant for social distancing. People must protect themselves from getting the disease by keeping a safe distance. Isn't this what the experts are saying to us? Social distancing is the first line of defense. I find this challenging in our church today. We are known to be warm, friendly, and closely related people. We embrace, we hug, we shake hands, and many times we cannot help it. Not knowing that we can get the disease at a time such as this or pass it on to one of our brothers or sisters. Hence, I'm convinced that God wanted his people to be protected by social distancing. And here's the third one. You have to cover your mouth. I want you to take a look at the words of God here. He said, cover the lower part of their face. It is again, of course, a symbol of isolation, just like the first and the second that I've shared with you. But it is also, at the same time, a preventive measure for preventing the spewing of the disease. Does that sound like face mask to you? When you wear the mask, you're preventing spreading the virus through droplets. Our government said, people who are sick must wear the N95 mask if they are with other people. That's isolation. And that's also preventing others from getting what you have. You can't come within 1 meter. You can't come in physical contact with another person. And of course, the mask is there to prevent you from spewing out the virus and make others sick. Was God correct in giving that directive in the Old Testament? I am convinced that he was, and provided a guideline that we can use even today. Therefore, the word of God is very relevant. It's just a matter of practice. And God wants us to practice this. Was God being mean there? Of course not. It is obvious. God cares for his people. He loves his own people. He wants them to be protected from such disease. So he provided some guidelines for acting with prudence within the community. When you look at the instructions of our government, they are very much like what God has said in the book of Leviticus chapter 13. Indeed, God can direct our national leaders as he is the supreme ruler of all. Thus, we need to follow the authorities when they said we need to cancel our non-essential travels, as we will be asked for self-quarantine for 14 days upon our return. They also told us, advised us, to wash our hands frequently with soap and water when available. If not, use any alcohol-based products and disinfect items frequently touched to avoid the spread of COVID-19. Obeying the government's directives to address the spread of COVID-19 is not being weak in faith. Rather, it is being obedient to the Lord's will. Now, the third way that we can take part in giving solution to this pandemic is to take care of your body. The government can only do so much. We have to do our part by taking care of our own body. And this is also biblical. God is concerned about our health. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 with me, starting verse 16 down to verse 20. And here's what the Word of God said. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh, but whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. As we have said earlier, the physical being of a person is deeply intertwined with one's spiritual health. The Apostle Paul, this time, wrote to the first century believers in Corinth. Corinth was a place in Asia Minor that is now the modern Turkey, and it was known to have a Greek temple of Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of fertility, which practices temple prostitution. Many first century believers in Corinth came from this practice, evil practice. Hence the Apostle Paul warned them to leave that sinful practice now that they have become followers of Jesus. It was a sin that has some physical consequence. The Apostle Paul maybe was alluding to venereal diseases, thus it destroys the body. The believer's body is meant to give honor to God as the Spirit resides in that body. And since the body of the believer is the temple of the Holy Spirit, God gave us the responsibility to take care of it. In the midst of this pandemic, how do you take care of your body? Well, it's clear. Avoid sinning. Avoid sinful habits. But we have also to do what is humanly possible in the most practical way to make ourselves healthy. And here are some practical advices in keeping yourself healthy. Eat healthy. You got to eat more greens, but be sure to wash them thoroughly. Hydrate yourself with water, not sodas, and limit your coffee or tea as they hydrate you. Water is still the best hydrating liquid. Now get the right amount of sleep if your body needs to give your internal organs rest and to do their work as you sleep. Don't stress yourself. Stress can give you sickness. Read some encouraging words from the Bible and pray more often. Now exercise regularly as it helps your body to become stronger in fighting a host of diseases. All these things will help your body in building a strong immune system that can fight the COVID-19. Now, not only do we honor God when we take care of our body, but we also become part of the solution for mitigating the spread of the COVID-19. Now, lastly, overcome fear with prayer. Jesus said, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." That's in John chapter 14, verses 26 to 27. Fear is a normal reaction to something that we are not really sure of or we don't know about. Fear is common, even today. It is evident because people rush to the grocery stores and grab whatever they can for their family supply, just in case somebody gets sick. People fear the disease that they may get, or from whom they will get. We fear the rapid spread of this virus, and we fear for our family. We fear that this virus, because we fear this virus because we don't fully understand it. Nobody has produced a single vaccine that has already been proven to be effective and with no side effect. There were some vaccines on trial stage, but that will be probably for late this year or middle of next year. That's the fear. And in our perspectives, uncertain times also may bring fear. And fear can paralyze us. It takes away our hope for a brighter tomorrow. And it can take away our inner peace. Prayer is the antidote to fear. Prayer encourages us because we know that the Holy Spirit is within us. And He assures us that our prayers will be brought to God. Romans chapter 8 says in verse 26, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." Groans here means cries. When we cry out to the Lord in prayer, He hears us because the Spirit is in us and He is the one interceding to God in our behalf. Church, do not be afraid of this coronavirus. Let's remember that we have a more powerful God than this virus. Jesus sent His Holy Spirit to us, and He promised to listen to our prayers, because God is greater than anything, even this pandemic. Let us therefore obey Him by submitting ourselves to governing authorities. Practice prudence. Keep yourself healthy. And always remember, overcome fear by prayer. Friends, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. May God be with us always.